I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Men, women, children, infants, elderly people, and even disabled people, the fact that they are in the hands of a terrorist organization, it puts us in a situation which is uncharted territory. It is the darkest day in our history. Never before have so many Israelis been killed by anything, and let alone enemy activity or terrorists, in one single day. And it's been said, but you could say that it is a 9/11 and a Pearl Harbor together for us. For a country the size of Israel to sustain this amount of casualties, it is extremely difficult to explain.
The words come very difficult for him to say, obviously, because the situation is that dire in Israel, and it continues even as we speak. You're listening then to Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricius, who is part of the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. And he's talking about that surprise attack that happened over the weekend as Hamas terrorists stormed into Israel. The question is obviously going to be asked immediately, how did it happen with all the security Israel has in place? We're going to break a lot of that down for you. And, of course, where we stand right now. I thank you again for joining us. Here we are, October 9, 2023, reminding you that when we're on the air, we're also streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and STL, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter on both, plus Rumble. And if you miss any part of either program, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and get the latest and pull it up. Listen to it at your pleasure. So this raid that took place the other day, there were reports that not only were they cutting through the fences in the security area separating Israel and its buffer zone from Gaza, where Hamas is in control, but they were also paragliding into some of the areas, and in fact, going into a beach rave party and shooting all those attending, if they could get to them, at point-blank range, and taking captives. You might have seen the horrific video of a young woman face down on the back end of a pickup, Hamas terrorist leg over her body, others shouting jubilation. She's either dead or dying at that point. She has been identified. Apparently, she's from Germany. She was there for the event, for the music event, to do tattoos and enjoy the event. And, of course, so many were there for a day of peace and gathering, and suddenly everything turned bloody. There is a report that came out of the Wall Street Journal that might shed more light on this, but I'll tell you right now, at the last report, we're getting that Israel has mobilized 300,000 reservists in the last few hours. Israeli strikes already killing some terrorists, and there's concern about Lebanon and Lebanese terrorist Hezbollah getting involved. And all of this might be linked to a Wall Street Journal report which says this event was in planning for some time. That question was raised to Lieutenant Colonel Caracas, as you were listening to a moment ago, as to what he thought of that possibility.
If this report that just broke in the Wall Street Journal is correct, and it is sourced to inside sources from Hezbollah and Hamas, that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps was the mastermind behind this attack and green-lighted it in a meeting in Beirut last Monday, how does that change this whole situation?
If it's true, it does change the situation, but I do not yet know that it is. Specifically, if Iranian officials officials indeed presided over and greenlighted the this horrible, gruesome attack that Hamas instigated yesterday. What is clear, however, to everybody involved in looking at the Middle East, is that Iran is indeed the world's largest supporter of terrorism. And it is also clear that it supports, funds, and provides weapons and training for various terrorist organizations along our borders. So whether or not they were specifically involved in planning this horrible attack, it is clear that had it not been for Iranian support, money, funds, training, and political guidance, Hamas would never have been able to execute this horrendous attack.
And part of that involves the U.S. president releasing $6 billion to Iran. Now, you're going to hear the administration continually deny that the money is even in play. They lie.
This money, these funds, can only be parceled out for humanitarian purposes, food, medicine, construction of medical facilities or even educational purposes. But that each and every withdrawal is going to go through a series of checks and balances, checks by the Treasury Department, checks by the Qatari National Bank. And quite frankly, there'll be a check on what they can withdraw based on aid organizations and whatever companies need to be contracted to help deliver these goods or these resources into Iran. So everything will be parceled out based on need. We will have visibility and oversight over each of those withdrawal requests. And if we don't approve it, it won't get approved for delivery to Iran. So this is not a blank check for them.
The hell it's not. That is John Kirby, National Security Coordinator. And of course, $6 billion announced by the Biden administration, supposedly only for humanitarian use. Immediately after the word was released that the money would be going to Iran, Iranian leaders gathered and shouted death to America and said, we'll use the money as we want it. Do you really believe the terrorists in Iran and around the world do not know how to launder money as the Bidens apparently been doing so? Do you really think they don't know how to get around those checks and balances if they exist at all? And I remind you again, in case you have missed it, the attack on Israel, killing hundreds of Israelis, and who knows how many Americans. The count continues to grow above a dozen. And how many have been kidnapped, both Americans and Israelis, and others visiting Israel. So there you have Kirby insisting Iran cannot use it for anything other than humanitarian purposes. John Ratcliffe, the former director of National Intel, says, no, they certainly will do what they want.
As it has been from day one, those words ring hollow from the Biden administration. They're disingenuous at best. Look, it's not even just this $6 billion, which clearly is going to further enrich Iran, it's closer to $60 billion. If you look at what the Biden administration has done to help this Islamic terrorist regime in Iran by stop enforcing sanctions, by lifting restrictions, by allowing Iranian oil to increase by 650% over the last 2 years, from 400,000 barrels of oil a day to 3 million barrels of oil a day. All of this has strengthened an Iranian regime that, you know, Kaylee, we left weaker and poorer than it had been in the last 20 years. And instead, they've largely been funded by the Biden administration's actions in allowing them to strengthen their position and to create this kind of mayhem.
We can argue this point all day long, but the fact is clear. In the meantime, in Israel, the IDF Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Karnisis says we are doing what we need to do.
We are not dealing with an organization or a group of people that have any interest in peaceful coexistence. We are dealing with a group of people that are extremist, brainwashed, and they have one goal, and that is to annihilate the state of Israel. And when people, not Fox viewers, but other people around the world, will start to criticize Israel for attacking Hamas and for inflicting damage to the civilian infrastructure in Gaza and other allegations that are leveled at Israel, I ask them to remember where did this war start? It started with atrocities, butchering and mass executions of Israeli civilians by Palestinian terrorists. And, you know, motivation-wise, they're in a religious extremist frenzy, believing that by butchering Israeli civilians, they will be able to overcome and destroy the state of Israel. Of course, we will prove them wrong, just as for the last 75 years, we have proved all of our enemies wrong.
But they're going to continue coming unless they are wiped out, destroyed. Now, of course, the question is still in front of us. How did this happen? Where did the intel fail to that extent? Former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman.
This was a massive, unprecedented attack where you had Hamas terrorists, roughly 1,000 of them reportedly, crossing over that 37-mile border between Gaza and the State of Israel and entering Israel roughly 15 miles into southern Israel. They combined air, land, and sea attacks against Israel. They must have been planning these operations for months, so there were opportunities to collect intelligence from the Israeli border guards, Israeli defense forces, the security services, Shin Bet, as well as Mossad, but Israel was unable to do that. Look, intelligence exists to detect threats way out left of boom, so those threats can be detected and preempted before any harm is caused. And that's where, unfortunately, Israel was unsuccessful. They are currently deterring Lebanon and they're deterring Syria from attacks on those second and third fronts, but they failed to deter Hamas, and now they're paying the price for it.
And it is a heavy price in blood. Fred Flights, we've had on numerous times before, 25 years working in national intel areas, now with the America First Policy Center. And he says, in answering the question, how did Mossad miss all of this?
It was an American intelligence failure, too, but it was an Israeli intelligence failure because of the intense surveillance Israel has of the Gaza Strip, of the human sources they have on the ground. There obviously was incredible communication security. I think a large number of the people engaged in this fight were not told about it until the last minute because there were no leaks. The Israeli government didn't know what was coming. But another problem here is I think the Israeli government was prepared to use technical means to intercept missiles. They didn't anticipate a massive run against border posts. They really were taken off guard, not just by the operational security, but by an attack they had not anticipated.
And of course, it followed a celebration of the High Holy Days. And of course, they've also taken hostages, taken them back into Gaza. And on that point, numerous concerns are raised as to what would be the purpose? The most obvious purpose is to use them in various ways. Retired Air Force Colonel Cedric Layton.
I think that was actually one of the main reasons why they took hostages. Of course, Hamas and other terrorist groups in the Middle East have used hostage-taking as a bargaining tool and a policy for many, many, many decades. But the way in which they've done this does reflect a degree of meticulous planning, and I think what they're looking at is keeping those hostages so that a ground incursion by the Israelis would have only limited success and may be a very difficult thing for the Israelis to achieve. So the Israelis are going to have to be very meticulous if they do plan something like this, and it's going to be very hard for them to find where the hostages are and to extricate them forcibly. So this, I think, will require more diplomacy as opposed to forceful means, but Israel should definitely plan for both possibilities at this point.
Speaking of diplomacy, Senator Chuck Schumer is leading a delegation of senators to China. This was announced last week before the Hamas attack. After the attack, China called for a ceasefire. China expert Gordon G. Chang explains why China is not condemning Hamas.
Well, of course, China is going to ask both sides to exercise restraint because Hamas is engaged in this brutality. The rape is just horrific, and China won't condemn it. China won't condemn it because I believe it's supporting Hamas's attack. Remember, Hamas is a proxy of Iran. Iran, in many respects, is a proxy of China. China fuels Iran. It's Chinese money that is supporting this war and on the Hamas side. And I think we're going to find eventually Chinese arms will have been used by Hamas, although that has not yet surfaced. So we are seeing China's full-on support for this. And what we should be hearing from Beijing as well as Washington is, look, that Hamas needs to pull back, it needs to stop, and it needs to be punished for this brutality.
But we're not. And Gordon Chang also points out, I have an issue with the Senate delegation to start with.
The problem with this trip is a fundamental one, and that is that China is putting itself on a war footing. It is preparing to go to war. The Senate should be in session of passing critical legislation to get the United States ready to go to war. So these senators should be in Washington making sure that we can defend ourselves, our friends and allies. Nothing's going to get done on this trip. And by the way, I don't like the image that China tweeted out of this, and that was Schumer in a half bow to Xi Jinping. That's the image the Chinese people are going to see. That's the image that much of the world is going to see. I don't know what it is for Americans, but they just can't help but showing that they are supine when they meet the Chinese leader.
I'm really glad Gordon G. Chang brought that out, because it's one still picture being circulated among the Chinese people. Chuck Schumer with his head bowed in front of Premier Xi. When you meet the communist Chinese, you should stand straight, look them in the eye, a firm handshake. You do not lower your head. But Schumer did. To his credit, Schumer has tried to confront Xi to some extent, claiming that he urges the Chinese people to stand with the Israeli people and condemn the cowardly and vicious attacks on them, which even Gordon Chang admits is strong language to be stating while you're in China. But again, I remind you, this meeting between Schumer and the other senators with China was part of a trip planned last week to increase relationships before what happened with Hamas. And back to Fred Flight's former CIA intel information, the object now, destroy Hamas.
I think it's laughable that China is trying to get involved here. I think we have to talk about what will the strategy be for the Israeli Defense Forces. They shouldn't simply try to level Gaza. They have to destroy Hamas, both as a fighting force and as a government. Hamas is a terrorist organization. It can't be allowed to govern Gaza any longer. It has to be removed. And Hamas has enemies throughout the Middle East. The Egyptians don't like them. The Saudis don't like them. So there may be some possibility. There may be Arab states who publicly don't like what Israel is doing. But Hamas cannot rule Gaza any longer. That has to be a priority.
Has to be a priority. In our next hour, how many Hamas and other terrorists are in our nation because of Biden's open border policy? And still to come in this hour, Hamas could have captured or even killed a U.S. senator. They didn't know he was there. But he did send word out and then got out of the country. But what if? What if? And also coming up next, Dr. Naomi Wolf, an American Jew, reacting to the Hamas attack and the PLO rallies, Palestinian support rallies, and support for Hamas terrorism happening in our nation, across our nation. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
And run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest was originally scheduled today before the events happening over the weekend, Dr. Naomi Wolf, with a new book out, Facing the Beast, Courage, Faith, and Resistance in a New Dark Age. Also wanted to talk to her about some paper and documents they got through suing for papers held by the government, showing documentation that they knew those in charge of COVID vaccinations and reactions, they knew the issues but ignored them. But the issue in front of us right now is what's happening in Israel and the repercussions throughout this nation. Dr. Naomi Wolf, born in California, Jewish religion. Dr. Wolf, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me begin by your first initial reaction when word began to break about the surprise attack.
Well, it's tough. I mean, I was sharing with my husband, he's not Jewish, that these images are, you know, we're a traumatized people. I mean, lots of people have been traumatized by historical atrocities, but, you know, the images out of Israel over the weekend really look like images from 1939, just in color. So it's very hard not to get flooded. But also in a bigger picture, they're very predictable images because America has lost so much power and prestige in the world since the Biden administration took over, and I'm embarrassed to say I voted for that administration. And we haven't stood by our allies. We're, you know, bending the knee to China. We're, you know, visibly not even getting our people out of conflict areas like Afghanistan. We're letting people who helped us get, you know, rolled up by the Taliban, like all around the world, our prestige and our power has been allowed to decline, you know.
All right, well, I've got to ask you. It amazes me that Jews in America, such as you just admitted, that you and Chuck Schumer being another, that they vote for Biden and knowing that they're not showing, this was not going to be a presidential show of strength under Biden. And you knew the past reaction with Israel and how they had reacted.
In a million years, Jews, I mean, I can't speak for all Jews, but the alliance between Israel and the United States has been so strong. And we've never had a truly, actually traitorous president before, you know, like giving aid and comfort to our enemy. So never in a million years could liberal Jews have imagined, or could I have imagined, that America would be so weak, but also that America would betray, you know, its strongest ally in the Middle East so overtly that the world would feel emboldened to stage an attack like this. Because, you know, this is not just the Palestinians. There's got to be third-party support.
Oh, Iran, obviously. Iran, exactly. China, and $6 billion that Biden released to them. Now, in this nation, you've seen the rally. There were 39-plus rallies around the nation over the weekend, one in New York City. I'm not sure if you're in New York City or California right now. You saw what they were doing, and some of them holding up signs saying Congress is Israel-occupied territory.
I mean, look, there's going to be a sea change, right? I mean, American Jews, again, I'm not speaking for all American Jews. You know, we've had a very safe 70 or 80 years in this country without terrifying anti-Semitism, right? And I think that what's happening in Israel is a deep shock. I mean, we haven't seen how it's going to play out among American Jews, but I posted the essay I wrote after having seen President Trump in person at an event hosted by Orthodox Jews, in which he was talking about his record of supporting Israel and also of the Abraham Accords, which were good for Palestinians and for Israelis. And I was saying, you know, this is a guy I was propagandized to hate to the depth of my being, but let's be honest, there was peace around the world and peace in the Middle East during the Trump administration. And he brought about the Abraham Accords and he stood by Israel.
And who moved the U.S. Embassy finally into Jerusalem?
Right, which, again, I would have had a problem with because kind of violating a lot of agreements. But, you know, bigger picture, there was not an inch of daylight between Israel and the United States before the Biden administration.
In D.C., during one of the rallies, one speaker said, make no mistake, we are celebrating.
Well, okay, that's super ugly, and it's ugly. You know, Israelis should never cheer when Palestinian civilians are taken out in attacks, and no one should cheer when Israeli civilians are taken hostage or injured or killed. I mean, that's super ugly. It's going to do nothing but escalate violence on both sides. Like, what people have to not forget in this kind of bloodlust, right, on both sides, is that it's women and children who always are hit the hardest when civilians are dragged into a conflict. But again, bigger picture, I think you're going to see a lot of buyer's remorse on the part of American Jews because, look, let me just give you an example. The Squat, right? Rashida Tlaib and these people have been so critical of Israel. And, you know, I believe the Palestinian people have rights that they're entitled to. And, you know, Israel should obey international law and so on. But the Squat was like a marginal annoyance, you know, to American Jews generally who are liberal. Now we're going to see them. I'm not, again, not speaking for everyone. Now they seem like a dangerous.
I don't see other Democrats calling them out and getting in their face on it.
Look, I'm with you. I mean, what is so weird about this time? If this had happened under any other president, you would have the president giving a speech, a fulsome speech, reiterating America's support for Israel, and you'd see either the president or the Secretary of State get on a plane and fly to meet Bibi Netanyahu somewhere safe to, you know, show the world that if you mess with Israel, you get, you know, if you mess with the bull, you get the horns. If you mess with Israel, you get the full wrath and fury of the United States of America. That is not happening.
You're right.
And that confirms what I've been saying for 2 years, as you may know, that we are under attack, you know, in the United States, but Israel is also under attack. By enemies who don't go about attacks in ways that we're used to. And the other thing I want to say is I am afraid that what happened in Israel is practice for what's going to happen in the United States, because our border, our southern border,
Absolutely.
Is wide open.
Absolutely.
People are pouring into it. And J.J. Carell, who's one of my commentators on Daily Cloud, who used to be a Border Patrol guy, pointed out that they have let 80-plus SAIs, that are special interest aliens, SIAs,
right.
Terrorist or terrorist-connected alien immigrants, illegal immigrants, into the country, and they don't know where they are.
Much less the Chinese that have been coming in. You're listening, Dr. Naomi Wolf. As you know, they did take hostages as well, in addition to executing, and now they're mm-hmm. saying that they are going to start executing hostages and recording the executions. This is ISIS all over. This is Hamas involved, and you got Iran applauding it. Lebanon and Syria apparently waiting a turn. What do you see, and do you blame Israeli intel for failing?
Well, it's hard for me to understand how it happened, given how surveilled Palestine is by Israel. I mean, that's a story that we're not going to understand for a long time. But and the other thing I do worry about is distraction, right? Because I don't, you know, there are much bigger forces at work than just Israel and Palestine, as we've said, right? So what I'm worried about is, while everyone's eyes are focused on this horror show, you know, God knows what's going to be rolled out in terms of central bank digital currency, or in terms of, you know, passing the, you know, World Health Organization, you know, dissolve all national sovereignty. I mean, we're being subjected to a global coup.
Yeah.
You know, and people in the European Parliament and elsewhere are calling it a global coup by these metanational globalists.
You mentioned earlier how the terrorists just carried this out without regard for innocents who have no weapons. We're just simply enjoying a party. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, sent word to those in Gaza, if you're living there, you've got X hours to get out, and then we're coming in to destroy everything. So they gave women and children more than adequate time to leave. But, of course, Hamas has been hiding some of its weapons and its abilities inside the midst of the people. The people might want to speak out and point them out, but don't dare. How do you look at how Israel is now responding?
I mean, it's so tough, right? Because, first of all, respectfully, there's so much propaganda on both sides, right? We don't know exactly what's happening. We're not going to know for a long time. But I do want to say, you know, I said earlier, and it's a bad time to say it, but if we're going to have peace and not just constant escalation, you know, both sides have human rights. Both sides have to obey the rule of law. And I say that because, you know, there's nowhere the Gazans go. Where are they going to go, right? And absolutely, Hamas is exploiting, you know, women and children and civilians. Absolutely, no question. But many Palestinians would say that they're fighting a mega superpower, and they have no choice, right, except to use terrorist tactics. I mean, I don't agree with them,
right?
But this is their view. So I guess what I'm saying above all is, you know, women and children, civilians need to be spared, and that is international law. And I know it's a hard thing to say at a time like this. Emotions are running high, and it's like,
and we certainly, you know, did not see that from Hamas over the weekend. Dr. Naomi Wolf, I thank you for your insight. I am going to book you again for the other subjects, but again, I really appreciate your time today on this issue.
Thank you, and let's all pray for peace.
You bet, Dr. Naomi Wolf. The Gaza Strip, you have to keep in mind, is a part of the division. You have Hamas took over the Gaza Strip, took it away from the PLO. The PLO is now running, of course, the West Bank, and in between Israel, surrounded by enemies. And you heard her mention what a president should be doing. Our president did make a statement. Does he stand by it?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment.
I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The United States stands with Israel. We will not ever fail to have their back. We'll make sure that they have the help their citizens need and they can continue to defend themselves. You know, the world's seen appalling images. Thousands of rockets in the space of hours raining down on Israeli cities. When I got up this morning and started this at 7:30, 8 o'clock, my calls. Hamas terrorists crossing in Israel, killing not only Israeli soldiers, but Israeli civilians. In the street, in their homes, innocent people murdered, wounded, entire families taken hostage by Hamas, just days after Israel marked the holiest of days in the Jewish calendar, is unconscionable. You know, when I spoke with Prime Minister Netanyahu this morning, I told him the United States stands with the people of Israel in the face of these terrorist assaults. Israel has the right to defend itself and its people, full stop. There's never justification for terrorist attacks.
Those are the words of President Biden over the weekend. You heard him set the stage as to how he was alerted in the morning, civilians being slaughtered by Hamas terrorists, and how he reached out to the leadership in Israel, saying, "You have our full support." But it was his approval and his decision to release $6 billion to Iran that sparked this. There is clearly a connection. Now, it is also clear Iran doesn't have its hands actually on that $6 billion, but it knows it's coming now. And while we insist it can only be used for humanitarian use, Iran is a state-sponsored terrorism. You send more money to Hamas and Gaza Strip, you give them more weapons, you lit the powder keg and it's blowing up in your face. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says Biden needs to stand firm.
President Biden said yesterday that Israel has America's rock solid and unwavering support. And that's fine that he said that yesterday, but we have to be with them in the long run. There's a long history, especially with President Biden or President Obama before him, after 4, 7, 10, 14 days of Israeli operations against terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah backed by Iran, of going wobbly, of demanding restraint, of seeking a ceasefire. We can't do that this time. President Biden often says that we're going to support Ukraine for as long as it takes. After yesterday's savage butchery in Israel, surely President Biden will also support Israel for as long as it takes to destroy Hamas.
I would certainly hope so, but as he said, often they start going a little wobbly. He mentioned within days in the long history that exists, you understand this is a centuries-old battle between what is now the PLO and Hamas and the Jewish state. And keep in mind, the Jewish state did not exist until May 14, 1948, when David Ben-Gurion, the head of the Jewish agency, proclaimed the establishment of the State of Israel, and U.S. President Truman recognized the new nation the same day. And that is what the cry is for many in Palestine, and those who were with the PLO and now with Hamas, that we were kicked out of our land and it was turned over to the Jews. That, of course, ignited, the long war and torn peace and battles that we now see. I remind you again, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank are held basically by Palestinians. The PLO rules the West Bank, ironically called the West Bank, even though it's on the east side of Jerusalem, because it's on the west bank of the Jordan. But Gaza, the Gaza Strip, is between Israel and the Mediterranean on the eastern coast. It runs about 25 miles long, anywhere from 4 to 8 miles wide. More than 2 million Palestinians are in that area. It is considered the third most densely populated area in the world. And when you get those who are exercising and fomenting terrorist activities, they have a perfect hiding place. Gaza originally was going to be run by the PLO, but then Hamas won a majority of the Palestinian legislative election, ousted the opposing political party, Fatah, and then, of course, took control. And we know now that they are more than willing to exercise whatever actions they can against Israeli neighbors, Americans, anyone else they can catch in their target. I would point out to you that there was a warning, as I'd mentioned in the interview with Dr. Naomi Wolf, a warning that the Israeli Defense Forces said they sent to those living in Gaza, knowing that they're not all combatants, they're not all terrorists, but they were saying, you do have time, we're going to give you time to leave before we annihilate and destroy everything surrounding you. And one of those issues being raised that you cannot ignore was pointed out clearly by some of those watching the developments and saying this is an entirely different approach than what we saw with Hamas. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer on how they issued the warning to Gaza.
If you have a population who essentially is willing to look the other way and allow terrorists to use their building for terror, you know, they've made that choice. And I hate to say this, I am not a neocon. I do not believe in the unmitigated use of force. With that said, it's very clear at this point that Hamas has been using civilian targets, civilian areas, for purposes of hiding their activities. And let's keep in mind the scope of this thing. Several guests have alluded to the fact that this took preparation. This took a lot of resources. This took months. And so a lot of folks in the Gaza Strip knew this was going on, knew it was coming. And again, this actually adds to the fact that the Israelis missed this, because this was huge. But with that said now, with the offensive operations going back at Hamas underway, my recommendation is that anybody in the Gaza Strip who's next to a Hamas target better move.
They better move, pure and simple. In advance of putting a full siege upon the Gaza Strip, they have the power and authority, Israel does, to cut all power and water to the Gaza Strip, which they have done. And already reporting at least hitting 1,000 terrorist targets in Gaza. But they continue to be in the belief, and I think it's true, that Iran assisted in the planning and approval of the terrorist attack over the weekend. Coming up, a U.S. senator was in Jerusalem when Hamas attacked. He got out. But what if he had not?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I am in Israel. About this time yesterday, I was jogging behind me in the old city when I got an urgent call from my chief of staff telling me to get back to the hotel as quickly as I could, that Israel was under attack. There were thousands of rockets being launched. When I got back to the hotel, I joined others in the bomb shelter or the stairwells of the hotel. Frightened faces. There were children and elderly families, many Americans. There was a sense of fear and worry and a knowledge to many of us that there were horrific things going on around the country at that time. Hundreds of people have been killed. Thousands of people have been wounded in a level of attacks at a scale that is staggering and really has not been seen in this country for over 50 years.
That was Senator Cory Booker. He was in Jerusalem when the attack started, and he filed that on his Twitter account and talking about how he was rushing back and hiding with others. And, of course, then he got out of the country. I'm obviously sure that he had expedited departure, and Hamas probably did not know he was in the country. If they had, they might have targeted him directly. Do you think Senator Cory Booker, who has not been that strong in shouting down the squad and their anti-Semitic remarks, do you think now he has a better understanding and maybe he really would support Israel? Or was he just saying what he needed to at that time and making it appear that I have faced death, I understand it, and yet not call those to account that should be held responsible? I'm glad Senator Cory Booker and his staff got out. I am. But I know in some of his other remarks he commented and said, I regret the loss of lives of innocents, Palestinians, Jewish. Note, he said Palestinians first. And there are numerous other Americans that have been killed in these attacks. We don't have the full count. Not sure when we will. We don't know how many Americans might actually still be in country. How many of them might have been kidnapped. But Florida Congressman Donalds says he knew that some were in Israel. In fact, he was related in various ways to them.
I have 53 members of my constituency who are in Jerusalem right now. Obviously, they are panicked trying to find their way to get back to America. If you haven't been to Israel, in southern Israel, by the Gaza border, by Gaza City, yes, it is really easy for them to come across that border. That's what we saw. We need to provide every assistance possible to Israel to get Americans back. And listen, let me be very clear with Hamas. Touch an American's head and see what happens to you. That's my position. That needs to be the position of the President of the United States right now. We need to get those people back and support Israel in every way possible to see that happen.
Yes. No Americans left behind, as we did in Afghanistan. And keep in mind, weapons left behind in Afghanistan might now be used in the attack against Israel already or will be. The Taliban has already said, if we can get passage, if we can get passage to get there, we will come help you fight the Jews and destroy Israel. They will be using weapons we left behind in Afghanistan. You were hearing the remarks from Senator Booker a moment ago. I want to repeat a tweet following him by Rabbi Shmuley. He said, Cory Booker voted to give Iran $150 billion. Then he ran away from Israel. He's talking about a prior vote where Booker did vote to give more support to Iran. And he adds, please stop bragging about how you endured rockets in Israel. You were my closest friend for 25 years. You were my student president at Oxford and my brother. Then you voted to give the Iranian terrorist monsters, who are largely responsible through Hamas for this attack that murdered 700 Israelis. That was the number he had at that point. It is higher. And you gave $150 billion to murder innocents in order to presume or preserve your political standing. And then right after you made your video, your staff spirited you right out of Israel. This is again from a rabbi who says that he had been friends and study partners of the Torah with Senator Booker. He concludes, the only hope for our friendship and your relationship with the Jewish community is for you to finally come to the well of the Senate floor this week and condemn your own vote to give billions to Iran and by extension Hamas, and to apologize profusely and beg forgiveness of the innocent Iranian people being brutalized by their government and the world Jewish community. Otherwise, we are not interested in these posts. Words are cheap, Corey. Remember all the Torah we studied together? It's action that counts. A powerful response to Senator Booker from Rabbi Shmuley, who apparently was a study with Booker at one point on the Torah and other Jewish issues, and a friend, a close friend. Senator Booker did get out, and for that I'm thankful. I would not want to see a U.S. senator killed, nor his staff, nor being held hostage. But is he going to come to a full reckoning of how he helped play a part in what took place? Golda Meir was the first and only female premier of Israel. She was one of the founders of the State of Israel. She served as Prime Minister of Israel from 69 to 74. At that time, of course, Arabs in general, locking them all together, Lebanon, PLO, Syria, Egypt, they were at war with them. She made a statement which I still say stands out as one of the most compelling statements ever. She said, when peace comes, we will perhaps in time be able to forgive the Arabs for killing our sons, but it will be harder for us to forgive them for having forced us to kill their sons. Peace will come when they will love their children more than they hate us. Golda Meir. Coming up in the next hour, how terrorists could rise up in our nation because of Biden's open border. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.